From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Tuesday Topics. It really is a pleasure to be with you this evening here in sunny and warm Miami, Florida, with no tornadoes and no severe weather. I'd like to thank our recorder and editor, Mr. Steve Bauer, and of course I'd like to thank George Byes from Talking Communities and our producer, Brian Charlson. This evening, we are going to talk about money. And money's an important thing. It's an important thing for all of us to earn. It's also an important thing for volunteer organizations like the American Council of the Blind. And any of you who have been actively involved in ACB over the last few years are probably aware that money is one of the things that ACB hasn't had a lot of. One of the committees that was set up initially by a constitutional amendment during my presidency is a committee called the Resource Development Committee that was at that time set up and designed to help ACB solve the problem of not having sufficient money around. And as a result, that committee initially tried to attract folks who had some experience and some involvement with some fundraising issues and also had access to some dollars that they could conceivably help us to use. That committee, under the Constitution, has to continue to exist, and its current chair is our guest this evening, and he is David Trott from the great state of Alabama. Before we talk about RDC, David, why don't you tell listeners a little about yourself, what you do for a living, what you work at, what you like to do when you're not working, and whatever else sort of comes to your mind, as long as it has nothing to do with RDC on the first go-around. Welcome, David, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me tonight, Paul. I am the Services Development Manager and Contract Procurement Agent for the Alabama Industries for the Blind. And what I'm attempting to do in that role is bring newer, more professional jobs for our blind employees and give them a better opportunity for upward mobility. Prior to that, I was in the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind for about 25 years, and I've also worked as an assistant supervisor at the Mississippi Industries for the Blind. I have worked on the floor at the Industries for the Blind. I have owned a car lot at 110, and actually was salesman of the month for Ford Motors in this area, and I was a marketing consultant for them for about 2 years. So that's kind of my background. I've always been involved in one way or another in sales and promotion.
Thank you, sir. And now, why don't you tell us a little bit about RDC, what it stands for, and perhaps as well, who's on it?
The RDC is the Resource and Development Committee of the American Council of the Blind. Currently, you have Melanie Brunson, Mike Godino, Doc Ed Bradley, Brenda Dillon, Ralph Sanders, and Sandy Sanderson. This is a wide range of people from different walks of life. It's a very varied committee. You have some financial expertise with Mike Godino, which was really a concern of ours when Brian rotated off this last year. Because you really need someone who is well-versed in the financial structure of ACB to serve on the committee to kind of have a good idea of what's happening at the time and how fundraisers are doing. It's a lot easier to have that conduit into the committee than it is to constantly have to call and get somebody to dig figures up for you and that type thing. We try to rotate these members off periodically, and actually probably myself as chair, it's probably time for me to rotate off. You get into kind of a stale period if you're not careful, but you always need someone on the committee who has a good background in finances and has a good background in fundraising, as well as a good background in ACB in general, to kind of get a feel from the group as a whole as to how fundraisers are being accepted by the group, because if you don't get feedback, you really don't you know, you really need criticism more than feedback, I guess, because you really need to know where you are and how you need to improve.
I think that the president of ACB continues to appoint members of the committee so that while you might get some consultation, ultimately the decision on who's a part of your committee lies with Chris Gray. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part. I've asked for a couple of people specifically because of their particular fundraising ideas or maybe their motivated skills, because to keep a fundraiser going, you've got to be really motivated a lot of times, and so you need a good motivator on the committee. But yes, for the most part, it's appointed by the president, and you get the committee, and you work with what you have. But overall, we've had some input, and we've had some pretty good committees.
The job of fundraising is never easy in a volunteer organization, and I think that it's been made even harder by 9/11, 2001, and I'm not sure that that's been the only difficulty in terms of fundraising either. I think fundraising has also been impacted by some of the immediacy of things like Katrina, and prior to that, things like the monsoons, which hits such a large portion of Asia and required such a huge amount of aid. And I think that's made it difficult for organizations like ACB to raise money. Would you agree with that, David? Is the climate for fundraising difficult now?
Since 9/11, we've been declining. And really, when Katrina hit, we noticed another spike. Any time that you have any kind of catastrophic event happen like that, especially when there's rumors of mismanagement of funds, it hurts any fundraiser, whether directly involved or not. And it's done that for ACB. It's done it for a lot of the state affiliates as well.
The other thing that the current administration said when it assumed power was that it was going to diversify fundraising and was going to come up with a broad range of new initiatives for fundraising. And I think that, in fact, there are a pretty large number of fundraising efforts that have been tried. And perhaps what we ought to do is to review some of those so that our listeners will get an idea of just how much work is going into the effort of trying to find money. So where would you like to start?
Let's start at the present and work back, because actually there's a few things happening right now that hadn't made it to the board yet. They will at our meeting this month. We're kind of reinventing ourselves as RDC too, because we felt like that a lot of times we should do a lot better than we're doing. We're coming up with a set of guidelines that, among several things that will happen, we'll have at least annual, if not quarterly, conference calls where the membership as a whole can call in and get involved. And we're also beginning to look at partnership fundraisers with the different state affiliates and the special interest groups as well. As we go back, we've always had the annual raffle. Some years it's successful, some years it's pretty much break even. You really can't lay a finger on what it is. If you could, I think we would have it to make money every year. Unfortunately, you have a different group of people at convention, and that's where a lot of your revenue comes from. So, you know, if you don't take in as much at convention one year, you're either going to make less money or you're going to break even. One of the big projects, for different reasons, when it got out of the auspices of the RDC, things were changed, but we have looked into the mail program, where we did the direct mailing to different lists, and we've had very limited success there. We probably haven't put enough time into it, but without the proper supervision, I just felt like that we needed to back off, and so did some of the other members of the board, and we've done that right now. That kind of thing is brought to us. It's not something we necessarily come up with. We get proposals all the time, and sometimes they make it out of committee and don't make it past the board for good reasons. You know, people get a fresh face on it. When you're on a telephone call and people don't get the opportunity to speak, those kind of things might sometimes get to the board that really, in hindsight, you'd say, well, that really should have never made it out of committee. Another one that made it out, surprisingly, by a narrow amount, was the thermometer keychains. We had some success with that, but again, it was limited. We, this year, are going to have an ACB auction That's going to be headed up by a member of the RDC and a couple of board members, along with members of the organization as a whole. Brenda Dillon's heading that up. At this point, we are getting together a great deal of merchandise. It's looking like it's going to be a successful auction if people are able to attend and dig in those wallets. You know, the popular things will go with somebody you know, Studge, or that kind of thing. But we're going to have some surprising things there, timeshares and first one thing and then another. ACB has a timeshare, by the way, and we do auction it off from time to time. And we will probably start within the next month auctioning it off again. And we'll have the capability for you to call either my cell phone or Rhonda's cell phone during the conference, all the way up to the time that it's actually being auctioned off at the auction. So you can actually take part live in the auction by phone, you know, if you can get in. And we plan to sell that timeshare that way. We may have a couple more timeshares by then. I'm not sure. Of all the things that's coming in, there's been such a great deal of stuff coming in, and Brenda's committee is doing a great job on that. And we try to, on an internal fundraiser, have a part in the actual fundraising event itself. The other thing that we're trying to do at this point that I think our listeners need to know about is we're trying to come up with fundraisers that get outside of the ACB box, because we tend to think internally when the majority of the money that we are wanting to get to operate and to move forward with different projects is really going to have to come from the outside. And we're working on some different fundraising events through foundation grants and that kind of thing that are going on that haven't taken off at this point, but we're in the process. And that's probably the most ongoing thing that we have going right now.
Gosh, we've got lots to talk about. I guess the largest single activity in terms of effort over the past few years has been the direct mail campaign. And ACB ended up working with a company who has helped us put together a number of lists, and we've been refining those lists. And I guess over the last 3 or 4 years, we've probably spent close to $250,000 altogether. And have not brought in very much money. The return that we get is not very high, but that's apparently pretty typical of direct mail campaigns. You end up gradually building up a list, and then you've got to continue to work that list an awful lot in order to make money. So where does the direct mail campaign stand now, David? That's certainly been the one that's taken the bulk of ACB revenue to work on it as a fundraising activity. Where do we stand now?
What we did as a board here a while back was limited the amount we spend through the budget. I think this will actually give us a better feel for the future, because the list we use will be smaller, the mailings will be fewer, and the percentages you get will be better. And the problem with direct mail, as you know, is when you're mailing 100,000 pieces, the returns on a successful mailing is in the single-digit percents. And it is difficult to make projections. I know that when the program was brought to RDC and then they brought it on to the board, we were painted a rosier picture, and those of us who push for caution, you know, were kind of, I think, kind of outshouted. But we've lost some money on it. We're going to continue to lose money on it. The thing now, I believe, that with the help of the American Foundation for the Blind and some of the things that we've put into play, I think it'll gradually move forward for us, but I think, again, that we're going to have to limit the amount of money that's earmarked for direct mail. We're in the third year, I believe, now, and it's time it should start breaking even.
Last September, I think, at our board meeting, we had a presentation from AFB's people in charge of their direct mail program, and we learned a lot of things about direct mail that it probably would have been good for us to have known 3 or 4 years before. One of the things that we learned is that you don't really look at making huge amounts of money with direct mail. Instead, what you look at doing is trying to build it so that you do get the maximum return, but it's a very hungry dragon, and you've got to keep feeding it. And they made a number of recommendations to us, AFB did, and the board voted after that to cut back on our current mail, but then to begin to have a direct mail expert come in and evaluate the nature of ACB's situation so that they could make some very specific recommendations as to whether we should stay with the folks we're currently working with, as to what specific kind of campaign we should build, and so on. I guess the other thing that they cautioned us, and David, I'm going to give you a chance to talk. I really am not taking this over, but I want to be sure our listeners understand where we are. The other thing that they cautioned us is that the direct mail campaign is always going to take a lot of resources. And if you don't have the resources, then one of the decisions that you may have to make is that direct mail is not something that you want to be doing now. So would you agree with all that, David?
Yeah. The other thing that they cautioned us, that it was a heavy resourced program, that when we think of resources from the RDC standpoint, we generally think of money. But we've got to have some human resources in that you've got to constantly monitor a lot of things that are happening, not just the mail coming in, but the message that you're sending out, because the message you're sending out is your organization. If you don't monitor it, then you never know what's said about you. And believe you me, we've seen some issues, Paul, as you recall, that needed to be monitored before they went out.
Sometimes the messages that have gotten sent out about our organization are ones that at least some of us had some questions about. Okay, so that's one of the things. Now, the RDC is not, I guess, directly involved with the other major push for fundraising, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, and that is the MMS program, the Monthly Monetary Support Program. What is that, and how is it doing?
The MMS program, actually, I sat on the committee that made the changes in it about a year or so ago as a representative from RDC. The MMS program is a program within the organization where you can donate money to the American Council of the Blind on a monthly basis. You can also earmark up to 50% of your money to come back to one affiliate. It can be a special interest group or your state affiliate. So far, it has continued to grow. But with an organization the size of ours, we still need to continue to grow this program constantly. It's probably bringing in revenue of $3,000 a month, somewhere around $35,000 to $40,000 a year. And when we talked about giving back to the state affiliates or your special interest group, we really believed we would reach $100,000 by now. It hadn't happened, but it continued to grow just about monthly.
One of the programs that's actually done better, though it's become a little controversial, is the vehicle donation program. I guess about 2.5 or 3 years ago, ACB decided and made it clear to state affiliates that for individual states that chose not to get involved with vehicle donation, ACB was going to go into those states and actually try to operate some vehicle donation programs through the same company, but with the funds going to the national organization. How did that work out, David?
Overall, it's worked quite well. There has been a little bit of a disagreement over internet donations. As a matter of fact, the last board meeting sent it back to RDC. We spent several hours last Wednesday night on the phone discussing it. We hope we have a solution to the problem, which right now is a diminishing problem because of vehicle donation dollars are diminishing anyway. They're decreasing regularly. We're only talking about the national now getting probably $60,000 a year, and all that revenue is not from internet. And it's also not from states where vehicle donation programs are in place. So at this time, it's really not something we can depend on. We're hoping that it will, that it's reached its level or its drop. We would naturally like to see it increase. We think that the vehicle donation program themselves, once we've reached an agreement within the ACB and the active affiliates that are in the vehicle donation program, that we will get added support from vehicle donation and the income will increase. But time will tell. I really believe we have a good program ready for them, and we'll find out, I guess, at the board meeting. The vehicle donation program, though, as a whole, has not just with the American Council of the Blind or the Alabama or California Council or whoever, but we faced outside competition as well. The Jewish Guild out of New York was one big advertiser in several states. Of Of course, you've got the American Counselor Society, the Disabled Veterans Association. Several people now are involved in the vehicle donation program, so you're fighting for those more or less what they refer to as sympathy dollars.
Nevertheless, overall, the vehicle donation program has been pretty successful. It hasn't cost ACB very much money, if any, and has brought in a pretty good chunk of change. I mean, $60,000 a year is certainly nothing to sneeze at. I'm going to go back and talk for a minute about one of the little initiatives, just because of the amount of play that it got, and that was the whole thermometer keychain thing. I don't know what the reaction to those in other places was. But I know that in Florida and in some other states that I had an opportunity to get into, ACB did not do well in terms of PR with that whole process. I think many people felt that the items weren't very good, that they didn't last very well, that they weren't very durable, and that even at a relatively modest price, they were too expensive. Do you think ACB hurt itself with that exercise, or was it a winning deal?
Actually, I don't think we do disagree. I think we hurt ourselves with it. I think we hurt ourselves with the backbone of our organization, and that's our affiliates, because they were the people that got out and sold these keychains for the most part, and they had to see these people face to face. I personally don't like any kind of fundraiser where you're involved with something that you can't control. The quality of the merchandise, or, you know, if it's candy bars, the texture of the food. Whatever you put your name on, you've got to stand behind. And I don't think we ever need to get involved in a situation where we have our affiliates out there representing us and, you know, it's a product that they had nothing to do with, because we had great support. And unfortunately, it was just a bad item.
One of the other things that sort of snuck up on us a little bit was a thing called the ACB Store. And the ACB Store has had several people involved in its operation, and the current manager is pretty closely related to David in that it's his wife, Rhonda. Rhonda is currently the ACB Store manager. As a board member, David, I don't think that the store has ever really made any money for ACB so far. At least I don't think so. It appears to do good business during convention, but the cost of maintaining inventory and other things, I think, has not enabled it to break even any year yet. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, kind of. Let me kind of elaborate by going what may seem like off on a tangent, but we would really be remiss here if we didn't recognize that our CFO plays a big role in any fundraiser we have, and especially something as complex as the ACB Store. Since the unfortunate death of Jim, we've kind of been adrift, I guess you would say, and you couldn't lay hands on who had what. Inventory was here, inventory was there. Something as simple as getting a phone number and getting it up and working. We spent a year here hearing that, hey, the mailbox on the phone is full, but nobody even knew where the phone was. It's sad, but really, to rebuild something, you've got to come out and you've got to be honest with the membership of this organization who have been negatively affected by some of the store's problems. Some of the vendors that we have are not really producing like they should. We chose as the committee to pull the store offline for an overhaul, remodeling. We want to do several things. We want to make it like a mall for one of the things that we want to do, where if the Florida Council or the Alabama Council had an item they wanted to sell, then we would provide them with space and we would get a small percentage for the store. We would also take PayPal when we go back up. We've got an excellent committee now. I think we're bringing it back around. And results will tell, you know, if we're right or wrong. But I can tell you from my own personal experience that if I want an item, I want to at least be able to read about it. I don't want to hear what somebody bought at a convention and hope I get the same thing. The other major problem has been the suppliers. The suppliers have been very slow at providing merchandise. And like any business, we take your credit card, we process it, we place your order. This should happen within a 24 to 48 hour period, and it should be shipped. Unfortunately, this hasn't happened. And when the store comes back up, we'll have these problems remedied. Rhonda has told them up front, And unfortunately, I know from experience that when she gets a bee in her bunny, it moves till it's the problem solved. And she's really kind of got offended by the fact that she couldn't make things happen the way she wanted to. It's been irritating for her. And so she just finally got a mat on and said, okay, we're going forward. And so now we begin to get people to see the light. We've cleaned up. We got the phone number working now. We've got our program with the book that was put in the Braille Forum is the only thing on the store right now. When it comes back up, you'll see some new products. The other weird thing, when you mention it never has really made any money, we have Ray Video, Ray DVDs for sale. And unfortunately, the store led you to buy them from Walmart or Amazon.com. So we still have Ray DVDs for sale. This is the kind of thing that we've run into, and I really think we're going to move forward now when the store comes back on. I think you're going to see something that you can be proud of and be comfortable purchasing.
Yeah, I think there are a number of good things that we need to say about the store, too. Whether we've made money or not, one of the things that the store has certainly enabled us to do is to get some ACB-branded items out there that we really didn't have before. You know, there were occasionally like ACB t-shirts and ACB coffee mugs, but there's a much broader array of products with ACB's name on them. And I think now that there's a really clear committee structure, and as soon as there are some pretty clear guidelines for the store, I think it has a pretty good chance to be successful. But again, you know, the sad thing is that you're dealing with another of those situations where, unfortunately, you're going to have to overcome some real discomfort on the part of our members who said, okay, I'm going to support this store. And they would order stuff and they wouldn't get it, or the stuff they'd get would break and they wouldn't be able to get returns. And on and on and on and on and on. So for a variety of reasons, the goodwill that should have been built up in the store hasn't happened. So the ACB store, though, is certainly another of the fundraisers that we hope will actually get into the black. And it's important to say that some of the factors that have led to the store losing money are factors that are under control now, and I think we've got a pretty good chance of breaking even or making some profit with the store over the coming year. And all things considered, the store is a good idea. There ought to be products that blind people could appropriately and effectively buy from us that we could make some profit on, and that it would be nice if people were buying from us rather than from a private vendor, assuming that our prices were competitive. And I'm assuming that that's what you guys are going to sell. Yes, David, that you know, buy from ACB because our products are good and our prices are good.
Yeah, and again, Rhonda is on the forefront. She's looking at every product that comes through now. She's actually rejected some things because of quality. And the other commitment that we're going to have in the future from private vendors that we work with is a definite delivery time and a way to let someone know if it's out of stock. If you order something and it's out of stock, you have a right to know it, and you have a right at that point to make a decision on whether you want to wait or not. And that hasn't happened. But quality of merchandise, and I'm hoping as time goes by, a great variety of merchandise, but especially the ACB branded merchandise is one of the good things, because it's something that you can buy that the logo's not going to fall off tomorrow like it did with the water bottles several years ago, or you know, a bag that fades the first time it gets wet. We're just not going to have those kind of items in the store anymore. And that's another thing that, you know, when you lose money, any time that you lose money due to merchandise that is faulty or it's poor quality that nobody wants, then, you know, they were just unfortunate buying decisions that were made that, you know, we put a stop to. We actually feel, in closing on this statement, I guess, Paul, we feel like that the ACB store could actually have an income line in the budget within 18 to 24 months that probably could impact the budget somewhat instead of being a drain.
I'm going to open this up so that other people can get involved. So let me give you a shot at talking about any other initiatives that you guys are operating with right now, or any other issues that you'd like to talk about as kind of the last component before I open it up and see if we've got some questions.
I think that what we're working on right now, of course, is the raffle and the auction. We are working on the resolution to the vehicle donation program problems that came up with some state affiliates and the national over the internet donations. And guidelines for RDC, because there hadn't been any there. If you needed to pull a fundraiser in and have a little tighter control because it wasn't happening, or for whatever reason you needed to move forward with it, you know, then those guidelines need to be in place, and we're working on them. Also, I think that we'll have a better financial now that we have Lane Waters on board, and we'll just be able to make better decisions. And lastly, I guess the survey. You know, Paul, it's kind of ironic. We talked about the keychains because the third question on the survey was, would you be interested in your affiliate and ACB doing a joint fundraiser? And a couple of them emphatically, yes, we love ACB, we're there for you. And that's great and wonderful, but the realistic ones was the one I liked. Yes, we'd be willing to if it, you know, depending on the fundraiser, but we're not interested in any keychains. So that makes my heart feel good because I'm not either. But I think involving the affiliates right now probably is one of the main things that we're doing to move forward, and I think it'll reflect in the bottom line in a year or so.
That's excellent. I think it also probably deserves to be said, it will certainly come out in July at the convention, but once ACB got a handle with Lane Waters on where we actually are, what we discovered was that ACB does have a reserve of $300,000 that is available in the bank, and it looks as though, well, no, we know that we did not have to take any funds from reserves last year, that we essentially broke even, and our budget this year is expected to be a break-even budget with some potential with some of the work that David's doing for fundraising and some other things to significantly impact our ability to actually perhaps appear in the black this year. So that really is good news, and really for the first year in several, ACB is doing pretty well. In order to kind of complete the picture, the other two major components in terms of income producers for ACB is a telemarketing program, which raises $160,000 a year in terms of income. And also, still by far our largest fundraiser is the American Council of the Blind Enterprises and Services, and these are our thrift stores. And right now they are contributing around $400,000, and that's what they're expected, between $400,000 and $450,000, and that's what they're expected to bring in over the next couple of years. And they've about managed to break even, though they've been going through some pretty tough times as well. Bottom line, however, is that they are producing still about 45% of ACB's total income of somewhere between $1 million and $1.1 million every year. Let me give David one more opportunity to talk about other revenue sources that I might have left out in case he'd like to, so that listeners will have a pretty clear idea of where ACB's money actually comes from. There are some affiliate donations, which are wonderful. There are some other fundraisers that individual board members run. There are some funds that come in from private donors and from affiliate donations. And, of course, we raise some money via membership, but not very much. Membership in general is a losing proposition for ACB. What have I missed, David?
Well, not as fundraisers. We've picked up over the last couple of years several large bequests. Some of them were earmarked for scholarship and that kind of thing, and some of them were just general fund. A lot of grant work has been done by the national office staff, and I think you'll see probably income from places that you didn't know existed now that Lane is beginning to take a hold of things. I think it needs to be mentioned that he had been on board about 2 weeks when, and Michael Garrett's contribution as well. Michael and Lane worked very well together, and ACB, Lane and ACBES, looking at the ACB insurance for employees and ACBES insurance for the employees there. He had been on board about 2 weeks. He saved us, I believe it was $175,000 at that point. So, you know, a lot of our problem hadn't been as much income as the fact as soon as we get it, it's gone. And a lot of that's beginning to come in line, and I think once it does, there'll be more confidence from the general membership, and I think we'll get a lot better fundraising ideas. But as far as the other fundraisers, we pretty much covered them all. The main thing is grants, and bequests would be probably next to ACBES right now, the other major contributor to ACB.
Just to be sure that everybody knows who folks are, since November of last year, ACB's chief financial officer has been a gentleman whose name is Lane Waters. And those of you who are able to come to the convention this summer will get an opportunity to get to know Lane better. The board has certainly had an opportunity to appreciate a number of good things about Lane, and he does seem to work very well with us. And the other person who David mentioned is Michael Garrett. Michael, of course, is from the great state of Texas. Michael Garrett is the chair of our ACBES committee that runs our thrift stores.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you're listening to Tuesday Topics. Once again, your host, Paul Edwards.
Okay, let us open it up and see if folks have questions or concerns that they would like to raise with David as chair of our Resource Development Committee.
Hello, David. This is Gary Wood of Lansing, Michigan. I'm a part of the local chapter of ACB, and thanks for doing the work that you do for ACB, and quite a creative individual. Sad to hear about these situations since 9/11, you know, the contributions falling off and, you know, all charities and stuff. I think we need to get moving again, you know, try to get back to where we were before that, if we can. And it sounds like ACB wants to take off out of the box, you know, and really I hope that they're successful in selling things in their store and in any other way to raise money.
Yeah, Gary, we want to get out of, not just get out of the box, but we want to get outside of the box. As fundraising goes, you've got so many charitable dollars you're going to give every year. And whether I get them through the store or we get them through ACBES or you donate them at the convention or you buy raffle tickets, you still only got so many charitable dollars. And we've really got to look at outside funding in order to grow our financial base and to be able to do more and be out front. Legislative work costs money. The stuff that Melanie and the national office staff does publicly, even to raise money, like the Paul, we did leave out the federal campaign, which we do get some money from. So, you know, we want to think outside of the ACB box, Gary, but we don't want to leave out the valuable affiliates and what we can do with the affiliates to not only help the American Council, but to help the local affiliate as well.
Yeah, David, you're quite right. We left out the combined federal campaign and also indirectly because people are able to also donate through United Way to ACB. I'm not sure we do a good enough job of letting them know that they really can, if they're pushy, make the United Way contributions that they give at work actually come to ACB. Other questions for David?
This is Brian Collins from Long Beach, California, and I was curious if you guys have considered things like sponsorships or advertising. Sponsorships as in sponsoring a particular activity or program, or advertising, such as the convention program could have advertising. They could sponsor a page or they could sponsor the whole thing. Have you considered anything along those lines?
Actually, again, it's probably, Brian, one of those things that we don't market very well, but we've always advertised in our convention program, some more successful than others. We, last year, for the first time, started to have ACB sponsors as a delegated position where someone would actually go in and work on it, and Brenda Dillon has done that. I know this year, revenues from that project in hand probably right now is $20,000 to $25,000 in commitments of up to around $40,000 at this point for this year. And also we're doing a little more toward recognizing our individual member sponsors by putting a different colored ribbon on their badge. And people said, well, you know, it really doesn't mean anything, but it does. It kind of lets you stand out a little bit, and it's actually, with, you know, a 25-cent piece of ribbon, picked up the amount of donations. We would always look at different ways to do a better job of it. We would welcome any input you would have there. We'd love to have it.
Well, a follow-up question to that would be, how about some corporate advertising, such as, I won't mention any names, but they could put an ad in and pay for that ad in a particular location, such as maybe on the ACB website or in some other part of the, like, of the program or one of the secondary programs that exist.
We have some of that done limitedly. Now, we don't have anything on the website, actually. I don't know how people would even react to that. Some people don't like advertising on their websites when they go to look, you know. But it would certainly be a new revenue generator because we do have enough hits to make it worthwhile to advertise there. It would be something to look at.
Well, an example of what we're doing locally in the Lansing area, we have some items that we're selling for the local council of the blind, and I think that from what I've heard, that's guaranteed to sell quite a few and make quite a bit of money for our local chapter, and maybe the state, hopefully, and things of that nature. And that's where I think I agree with your point that we don't want to forget about these local chapters because I'm one of those, I'm part of one of those, and the state affiliates, and with your idea that we need to think outside the box, I think that's the thing that's going to help ACB be what it can be.
One of the things that we have to offer a local affiliate would be our web presence and what we could do to market a fundraiser through that web presence. Some affiliates doesn't even accept credit cards, so we also have that service available. There's a lot of ways to partner, and we hope that people will start thinking about it once the word gets out that this is something we are realistically approaching and not just paying lip service to, that, you know, they're not going to get a few keychains and be asked to make a commitment. But we want something real that we can move forward on. And, yeah, the website certainly is one of the marketable parts that the American Council of the Blind would put in a partnership fundraising.
I did have another question about, I know other NPOs have managed to do quite well with doing something along the lines of having an individual, and it usually is just an individual who maybe has one or two people who work with him, to go out to corporations and promote donating large amounts to their organization, and they do quite well at that. I know of a local organization here that, since I have been involved in it, has managed to get $300 million donated by multinational corporations over a period of about 10 years. All they have is one individual who goes out and does that, and he's got a lot of connections, a lot of influence. So does ACB have the ability to find somebody like that and possibly put something like that together?
We've looked at that. One of our big drawbacks, I think, over the years, and Paul might want to correct me if I'm wrong, but again, is that you're putting your name out there. And we tend to control that quite strenuously, and I think people have been reluctant. Another thing that we have looked at in that area, though, is the fact that it is there, and we are beginning to research some of the buttons you have to push to get them to give. You know, they give for different reasons, not necessarily because you're a blind organization, but because maybe you have scholarships or maybe you run some kind of training program. You know, there's several different things that they give for, and if you can hit those buttons and know what it is and go in with the approach and get high enough up where it doesn't lay on somebody's desk because they're just not interested in moving it up. Yeah, it could be very lucrative for us, and I certainly think that with the right person, we could do quite well.
Every decision that you make about the money that you're going to spend is a crapshoot, and every decision that you make to spend money on fundraising means that you don't have money to spend on the Braille Forum and other service delivery components within ACB. And in a voluntary organization with members, those are really tough decisions to make. The board has certainly had to make them every year over the past several with regard to our annual budgets. We actually talked way back when I was president of ACB about hiring a fundraising person, and we decided that we simply did not have sufficient reserves to be able to go out to spend the money that that person would need to spend in order to be successful. And that's the problem with fundraising. The truth is you've got to spend money to make money. And it's as simple as that. The current administration has hired three people, and none of those three people, I think, have brought in a really significant ongoing budget stream or made the kind of reforms that really need to happen if we're going to be successful. So I think all of those things are factors. Another question for David, or me, since I seem to be talking some.
Fundraising is very important, and it's important to raise money, but this old saying, it takes money to make money. Well, raising money is important, but we don't want to take away from things like the Braille Forum, and especially we don't want to take away from ACB Radio, which I think is probably one of the best things that for the world that ACB has done in the past few years, especially I'd say about 7 years, in fact, that ACB Radio has been probably one of the best things to happen to ACB in that length of time.
Yeah, and also we'd be remiss to mention that ACB Radio is a contributor to its own budget because they raise a lot of money themselves through donations, and ACB Radio is the success it is today because of its beginnings and the people that were brought on board, Jonathan Mosen and his people who made it what it is, and Paul for working with Jonathan and bringing him on and putting together a program that not only is a service to ACB, but it could probably be a good source of funding as well.
ACB Radio is intended to be self-supporting, and I really think that over the long haul it can be, and it probably should be. Right now it's not, but the amount that we're spending for ACB Radio as compared with the goodwill and other things that we're building with ACB Radio, I think makes it well worth the money that we're spending. And we're probably not spending anywhere near 10% of our budget on ACB Radio, and that's operating 5 streams now, so that's pretty amazing.
Bringing up ACB Radio, I was actually looking to see if there is a such place for a advertising abilities on ACB Radio. I'm sure there's local and national companies that would be very willing to provide some funds for that purpose. Is there a location somewhere for somebody who wishes to do advertising on ACB Radio so that they can have that contact available? I actually looked on the internet and was unable to locate that. I didn't look that hard, but you know, I don't think it should be difficult for somebody who is serious about advertising to be able to come up with maybe putting a little 15-second promo, call of such a number or contact such and such a web page if you wish to advertise.
I'll jump in on this one really fast. ACB Radio right now has a kind of divided leadership in that Chrissy in England and Jeff Shang in Australia are working along with Marlena Lieberg in Washington State. Anyone who's interested in advertising would obviously work through Marlena, and there are a number of companies, by the way, who are actually putting money into ACB Radio in exchange for promos that are in fact on ACB Radio. You'll hear the American Foundation for the Blind and Freedom Scientific and a couple of other places have actually had promos on, which they have paid for with some revenues that have helped ACB Radio survive. So that's how we handle that. But Marlena Lieberg would be the person that you'd send a message to if you were interested in advertising. And if you're interested in marketing, Brian, you ought to talk with her as well. Maybe we should get you involved in fundraising efforts. David, could you talk a little bit about some of your future plans? I know you've mentioned that you guys are working on guidelines for RDC. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit about what those guidelines are probably going to look like and what are some of the things that maybe you've had trouble with the guidelines that the board may need to look at before we're able to move forward.
One of the problems we've had, which kind of led to the guidelines, is that All of our projects come before the board, as they should. Unfortunately, once you get them back, if they have to change, then you're delayed by coming back to the board. And we're looking at having that in the guidelines that, you know, if the board approves them, that once the board approves a project with no significant changes, then the RDC could continue. We're looking at more of being involved in the other fundraisers that we have ongoing and more involved in the committees who work with those fundraisers because as you begin to work on a fundraiser, you look at the people who are really motivated by it. If you can't keep a good group of motivated people, you really lessen the chances of success with a fundraiser. So we want to be more involved in the committee appointments for different fundraising. Time limits for fundraising. If we say that a fundraiser is going to be going by February 1, then by February 15th, we want to know that it's going at the latest. And if not, by March 1, if it's a no-go, we need to have the ability to pull it. And that's some of the things that we hadn't done in the past because we just simply didn't have the guidance. Had the number of people from the RDC that would be involved on committees would be another. When to pull a fundraiser that is not successful would be another. And that process is still ongoing. So there's only four or five actually out there right now. The main guideline that we're putting in and that we're hoping for board approval on would be the quarterly or semi-annually conference calls that would involve anyone who wanted to come call in, because we're missing out on a lot of the Brians and Garys out there who right now, the way the structure is set up, don't get to participate in RDC calls. And so we get ideas secondhand, usually, or third hand. And generally, when we have an outsider on the call, it's instigated either by the president or by a board member, and it's usually an outside company. Like one fundraiser that came out of committee that the board voted down and probably was the better way to go, but you've got to get stuff out there to discuss, was a program with a network marketing company. The guy who brought the program was successful. He had a lot of success. It came through the committee, and when it got to the board, it didn't make it. So, you know, we're looking at guidelines not to stop that kind of thing from happening, because that is the good that happens. But if we had taken this fundraiser on, then we need, as a committee, to have a part in it and to make sure it works, because generally we have more knowledge than gets reported to the board, or we have people on the committee with special expertise that really needs to work and be involved in the fundraiser. The final thing I would say on that is, again, and I can't stress it enough, is the partnership fundraising efforts that we're looking at, I think, can be beneficial to both parties. And I think that the open calls once a quarter will begin to form those partnerships, because, you know, nobody wants to see a keychain, but nobody wants you to come into, say, Kansas and interfere in a fundraiser they've got going on. So we need some input from the membership, I think, to really grow ACB and get outside of ACB, but also to grow our affiliates. And I think probably, Paul, and to the listeners, that is probably the one single most important thing that we can do as RDC for the future finances of ACB and fundraise. We're a membership organization, and I think sometimes we tend to overlook that, because you get the people up there that have been there for a long time, and they're really good at what they do. Most of them are good communicators down. A lot are not. And the main thing that we got to look at is what we do is governed by the single member out there. And the only way we know the expertise of the single member is through communications. And I think that's something that us as board members, us as committee members, your past presidents, that kind of thing, I don't think we can stress enough to you that we can work together, and we want to work together, but we've got to hear it. And there's some 25,000 of us out there, and we don't communicate enough, I believe. And I think it's we're not clear enough about our own information. I know any time that you see an email from Paul on a list, it's got 900 phone numbers on it and 13 email addresses. So Paul is a good communicator, and I think he could be an example to all of us to maybe start putting our own information out there as board members. We probably have a responsibility, and especially as committee members, for you to be able to get in touch with us. And I think that's something that, you know, we need to learn, and I've heard the message and plan to do just that.
So, David, why don't you provide folks with perhaps an email address, and if you want a phone number, where folks get in touch with you if they have fundraising ideas or if they would like to put their name out there as folks who'd like to work on helping ACB Radio get richer.
My home phone number is 256-362-5649. And my office number is 256-761-3680. And the easiest email address to remember is dart1018@charter.net. My other email address is long. It's my name backwards, trot.david@aid.us.
Thanks very much, David, and thanks to our listeners and to our participants this evening. We've explored some of the income and resources that ACB has and some of the specific activities that ACB is undertaking right now to try to turn ourselves around and become a richer and more profitable organization. We have a long way to go. We need your help to be successful, and we hope that you will become directly involved in the process of helping ACB to become more financially stable and able, therefore, to begin to do some different things. On behalf of our guest, David Trott, we'd like to thank all of you for listening tonight. On behalf of Brian Charlson, our producer, Steve Bauer, our recorder and editor, and all of our participants this evening. Thank you very much, everyone, for being with us on Tuesday Topics.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.